Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the AfridaLoveShow.com, also the StellarGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with the love. I am your host, Dr. Afrida Love, and this is the day, the night that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I want to thank God, my family, my friends, and my co-host, and all of you for tuning in to the AfridaLoveShow.com, where Jesus shines with love. I have exactly 230 individuals on the line. Thank you so much for taking out the time to listen to the voice of God and to understand the revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to begin by saying welcome and thank you so much for listening. I want to read Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9, and it reads, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever." I have read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us to be able to wake up this morning, and you started us on our way. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength, Heavenly Father. And we ask that you continue to bless those who are in the hospitals, those who are coming out, and those who are thinking about going in. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless each person who's listening on this particular line. Whatever infirmities they have, whatever storms that's happening, whatever is going on, we ask in the name of Jesus, would you give them relief, Heavenly Father. Would you bless the word of God to go forth, Heavenly Father, and would you crown this head from the top to the bottom. Would you bless our eyes to remain focused upon you, and would you bless our ears to be able to hear the revelation, and would you bless our mouth to be able to speak the word, Heavenly Father, from you. Lord Jesus, we ask, would you bless our hands to remain busy, Heavenly Father, busy in scripture, busy in the word of God, busy in doing great works, Heavenly Father. We ask, would you continue to bless our feet. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the listeners, and we thank you for the seekers and the doers of your holy word. We ask, would you continue to expand this ministry and the word of God throughout this land and country. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of the newcomers, Heavenly Father. We thank you for all 50 of them. Then, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, would you continue to increase the territory, not for man's glory, but for God's glory, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the mountain experiences, and we thank you for the valleys. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the movement of the journey. And we ask, Heavenly Father, as we pray right now, all of those thousands of individuals who are standing, wondering if they want to cross over, we ask in the name of Jesus, would you propel them, Heavenly Father? Would you move them forward in the name of Jesus, Lord? We ask in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, if there's anything in our heads or our hearts that's not like you, would you remove it, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus? We ask, Heavenly Father, for success. We ask for victory, and we ask for wisdom and knowledge, Heavenly Father. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you continue to bless each and every person who's listening on this line and those who are going to listen. We thank you for the opportunity, and we thank you for the privilege, Heavenly Father, to see one more day. And we ask, Heavenly Father, would you continue to increase who you are and decrease us, Heavenly Father. Continue to increase the goodness of the works of God and continue to help us, Heavenly Father, to be about our Father's business. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities, and we thank you for the blessings of favor. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you continue to bless this ministry, not just this ministry, but other ministries, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, you're speaking open doors, Heavenly Father. We're asking, would you let all of those who want to come in, Heavenly Father, and to hear your word, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the fire that's in our souls. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the words that are about to go out. And we ask, Heavenly Father, with each word spoken, fall on fresh ground. And then once it falls on fresh ground, Lord Jesus, we ask that you bless it to grow and permeate throughout the hearts and minds of each and every individual who is able to witness the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And once again, I'm so excited and delighted that each and every one of you have decided to tune in to the Afrida Love Show. com, where Jesus shines with love, also known as the Stellar Gospel Music. We're going to begin by listening to Sister Juanita Bynum. She's a tele-evangelist. She also has a at three with me. And we're going to get Sister Bynum on the AfridaLoveShow.com and the StellarGospelMusic.com. Amen. Amen. I've been working on this for years, and the time has finally come, and I'm so excited and delighted. Amen. So we're going to listen to Sister Juanita Bynum. You are great. And then followed by that, we're going to go ahead and get into the Word of God. Right now, the Lord is showing segments, so there may be some more music between the scenes, as God is calling it, but we're going to talk about a kingdom journey of feeding 5,000 and feeding 5,000 with a little, and how God can take a little and make it great. And we're going to be exploring Luke 9, 1 through 17. And what I want you to focus on is I want you to focus on putting the shoes on your feet. Imagine having company over 5,000 people. Imagine an event with 5,000 people, and imagine that you only have two fish and five loaves of bread, and you have 5,000 people. What are you going to do? Because you was only expecting 50 people to come, but because we serve a true and living God, amen, God says he's going to give the increase. So we're going to explore Luke 9, 1 through 17. And as we go on our journeys, I'm going to be very honest with you. God is going to give us some things that's going to seem insurmountable. He's going to give us some blessings, and we're going to wonder, Lord, how am I able to maintain this? But as long as we have Jesus, amen, God says a little can go a long way. Amen. So that's encouraging. So we're going to listen to Sister Juanita Bynum. You are great, and we're talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're listening to AfridaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. I'm your host, Dr. Afrida. Look. Amen. That was our own sister Juanita Bynum. You are great. And as Sister Juanita Bynum was singing, God was giving me a revelation of the process and the way in which we ought to go with this particular avenue that God has taken us on. Now, I'm going to tell you that we're still on the journey, and I'm going to tell you that God is really blessing at this time. He has done so many great things for me and for you and for our families, and I just want to take out this time to say thank you, Lord, because God has really, I mean, I feel like a new person. My disposition about life is refreshed and anew. I can feel a spiritual difference within me. I can feel the presence of the Lord. I can feel some growth going on. I can feel some progress and revelations going on, and I thank God, and we want to keep that same momentum. And so for those of you who God has called on this journey, and actually I'm speaking to everyone, not only the people on the journey that God has called, but I'm speaking to the people who is perimeter. He's calling it the outside, and you, there is some type of barrier. I can see a gate, but God says it's a life's barrier, whatever it is that's causing you to not want to cross over and to join us. I want to speak to you today, and not only speak to you, but I need to encourage those who are on the journey as well. So what I want you to do, as I told you before on Facebook, is to get out a sheet of paper. And when you get out the sheet of paper, all I want you to do is write the word journey, because this is a process. All I want you to do on that sheet of paper is write the word journey. It doesn't matter where you write the word journey. It really doesn't matter. Just write the word journey. And I'll give you about 30 seconds to a minute while I get our other song ready here, because we may have a section in which God wants us to refocus on some things. Everybody have your paper out and your pen and pencil. All right. So what needs to happen at this particular time? Give me just a second. I get everybody focused and ready. What needs to happen at this particular time is I need for you on that sheet of paper where you put journey, I need for you to draw just a straight line. And don't draw the line all the way down the paper, just halfway. Whatever your halfway is, it's not going to matter, because the concept is going to be the same. Just draw a line. You don't have to draw it all the way down the paper. Just draw a line. And then you're going to make a curve, so it's going to be actually a big L. A big L on your paper. Okay? A big L. So you're going to make a huge L on your paper. The top says journey. Under journey is calling, C-A-L-L-I-N-G, calling, and we're talking about Jesus calling. And we're going to explain this in just a second, and we're going to also read the scripture, but the revelation is coming before scripture. All right? So you have journey, you have calling. Who's calling? Jesus is calling. It's kind of like how we map out when we have English. We're learning verbs and nouns and pronouns. So who's calling? Jesus is calling. So you put an arrow where it says calling. So Jesus is connected to calling. Then God says there's a stop. And this goes with our reading for today. He says there is a stop. Within the stop, he says, God says, movement. Movement. And put your name. Action. We're talking about verb now. We're talking about movement. Okay. Then God says a little bit further down, you continue to walk. Then there's another stop. God says put movement. Put your name again. Then as you're walking down, there's a pivotal point. He says on this pivotal point, He wants you to put Saul and then put your name. Then as you're walking, God says that there is a mountain. So I want you to, it looks like a rainbow, but it's really a mountain. So draw kind of like you're drawing a rainbow. And this should still go in this L. This should still be inside of this L shape. So after pivotal point, you're going to walk a little bit, and then there is a rainbow, but it's really a mountain. So put mountain. Okay? Then you're going to walk a little bit more. And I want you to put your name at the end of that L, first and last name. So you have journey, and you have calling. Who's calling? Jesus. Then you walk a little bit, then you have a stop. Then you put movement. These are synonyms and antonyms. You put your name, Afrida. Then you walk a little bit more. There's another stop, movement. You put your name again, Afrida. But you put your name. Then you go a little bit more. There's a pivotal point. You put Saul. Who is Saul? Saul was in the Bible. Then you put Afrida. Then you go a little bit more. Then you put mountain, right? And then after that, it smooths out, and you put your name. All right? Before we get to scripture, stay with me. Stay focused. Stay with me. It's very important. I want you to write down 12 people's names. This represents the 12 disciples. I want you to write down 12 people's names. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. As you're writing, some of you have already begun to write. As you're writing, you're going to have one person who's going to make actually 13 people. You can think of 13 people. I want you to put, after you put your 12, because what I want you to do, it's very strategic, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to put a number one, and I want you to put your name, all right, and put a box around it. Then I want you, right beside your name, I want you to have, in other words, four columns. Put your name. Put the second person's name right beside your name, third person's name right beside that name, and then the fourth person. So it's four columns. And I want you to add, it's going to be two names. It's actually going to be two names under each of those sections, okay? And then you're going to have one person who's going to make 13. Keep that person, because God is going to tell us something about that person. So I'm going to give you a few, maybe a minute or so, to write down your 12 people, 12 disciples, and you're going to have one left over. Once again, we're looking at Luke 9, 1 through 17, kingdom journey of feeding 5,000 with a little. Give you about another 30 seconds. All right. At this particular moment, this is what you should have, okay? So we have our journey. We have our L shape. We have calling. Who's calling? Jesus. We have a stop. We have movement. You have your name. You have stop, movement, your name. Pivotal point. We have Saul, your name. Then we have a mountain. Then we have your name after that mountain. Then I asked you to write down 12 individuals, which represents the disciples. And then I told you that there would be one extra, right? And I told you to keep that person, all right? Because God has a revelation about this whole process. So keep that one person. So here we go. Luke 9 through 17, we're talking about how Jesus can miraculously make something out of nothing. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed. We're talking about the disciples. Stay with me. And went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, John, I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him, and the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, we're talking about Jesus, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. I have read to you Luke 9, verses 1 through 17. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. I want you to understand this story, that Jesus had 12 disciples. I want you to look at the 12 people whom you put on your paper. You could imagine that these 12 disciples were those that God had chosen, just like you chose 12 people. And I imagine that Jesus chose these 12 disciples because they were obedient and they followed Jesus. And God, with his almighty power, gave them authority. They were authorized to be over all demons and to cure diseases. How many of you know that the Lord has to give us authority before we go out and begin healing and preaching to people? You have to have the authority and the anointing of God to do so. So look at your 12 people. All right? And the Lord said, take nothing. Don't take any money, don't take any bread, do not take anything, because the whole gist of it is not to go out and buy things, not to go out and sightsee, because we lose focus. The focus is to go to and fro seeing who we can cure. Go to and fro preaching the word of God. Go to and fro letting people know who God is. But how many of you know that no matter how authorized we are and how much God has anointed us, there's going to be some opposition? And so God says, as we get on our journey and look at your 12 people, he says he has drawn out a map of how to overcome and surpass those things that hinder us from eternal life, those things that hinder us on our journey. I want you to look at these 12 people that you have placed on your paper. Most of them are probably family members. Amen. And you have one whom is number 13. And God says, with this number 13, there is always one that we must continue to be models for in order to bring them with us in our journey. This one, there are many people listening. So part of the thousands of people who are standing around the perimeter belongs to at least one of us. Amen. So therefore, nobody can point the finger and say, all of my family members are on the journey, all of my family members are sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because with these individuals who are standing around the perimeter, God says one belongs to us. And so it's very important that we continue to map out the will of God. And it's important that as we continue to walk this journey, that we understand what's ahead. See, God has given us authority. Look at number one. Number one is you. God has authorized us to go out, and he has authorized us to have authority over all demons. What does this mean? What does this mean? What are we talking about when we say God has authorized us to have authority over demons? That means that we have overcome the world. That means that when we go out, there are going to be demonic spirits. But God says, since we are having heart surgery every Monday, and since we are under the auspices of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we're walking in the will of God, he says, do you remember the game, the Mario Brothers? The Mario Brothers, where they were walking and they had to jump over things and hop over things in order to get to the place that they were going. God says that is how our journey is. So number one means that we have to continue to focus on our calling, which is Jesus Christ. We have to continue to focus on our calling, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus has called us to a place. I told you my place was in the northeastern part, amen, of the country, the northeastern part. But Jesus, God says that since we are first, he says that we must continue to focus on the calling of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The calling is very important. And so God has given us the authority over all demons and to cure diseases. There are sometimes on this journey, and curing doesn't necessarily mean that we lay hands on everybody who comes to us, but it means that our prayers will be heard by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in order to cure diseases, in order to cure spirits, in order to heal the sick. We are praying in order to heal infirmities. We are praying. It's the power of God. It's not us, because God is calling us, and we've responded. We're answering. We're now on the journey. But God says, do not forget about number 13, because our job is not only to continue to have the people that we have as disciples to remain aligned on the journey, but now we have number 13, whom it is our job to continue to pray for and to continue to authorize the Lord, or authorize the word of God to be over their lives. And not only do we have to continue to respond to the calling of God, but we have to continue to walk. If you look at number 2 in this matrix, it says stop. Number 2, because he says, when we go on a journey, for some reason, we want to act like the journey of God is a trip that we are taking. We want to take clothes. We want to take other people. We want to take money. We want to take. God says, don't take anything. He says, take nothing for the journey. He says, stop. He says, stop it. Told us to do is to move. He says, there has to be movement. You've been called. Now you have to respond, and you have to move. My grandfather used to sing a song, and he says, you may be high, you may be low, you may be rich, you may be poor, but when God gets ready for you, you're going to have to move. And so God is calling us into another dominion. He's calling us into a path. He's calling us to eternal life. He's calling us to a higher calling. He's calling us to become his servants. So he says, stop. He says, we're going to have to rid of some stuff, all these riches, all of these things that we want to bring on the journey with us that has no substance. He says, bring nothing. Don't take anything on this journey. God says, there's a spirit of all these things will be added unto you. So whatever we need, God says that he will provide. But he says that when we stop, he says this is only a thought process, right? Thought. Because some people will literally stop because they feel like God is telling them to stop walking. He says the stop is to stop and think. He says, and when you stop and think and hear the voice of God, then you begin to move. There is movement. And he says, say your name. He says, there is movement. He says, move, Alfreda. He says, I didn't ask you to take all these things and talk to yourself. God is not only talking to Alfreda. He's talking to whomever put their name there. I didn't tell you to take all this stuff with you. I didn't tell you to take staffs and bags and breads and money. Do not take any of these things with you. The focus is that we are on a journey. You are on an assignment for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because you are on an assignment, the only thing I need is your wisdom that I have given unto you, and I need the words of God. Because throughout this journey, you're going to meet people who need the word of God. They don't need your money. Some of these people already have money. They don't need all this other stuff. They need the word of God. And so God says, as we're going on this journey, the focus is not that we're going here to sightsee and shop and buy things. The focus is we're going to give and disseminate the word of God. God says, you don't need anything. He says, I'm going to supply all of your needs according to my, what, riches. All of these things will be added unto you. He says, you are just to walk in the journey. You are just to go. He says, everything is paid for. I've already paid the price. You just go. He says, but your price that you are paying for me is that you are giving the word of God. Amen? So that's why God says stop. He says, because we're all moving. We're all walking. And we hear the voice of God. And we respond, yes, Lord. Send me, I'll go. And that's right. He says, but stop and think. Bags, we're packing up our clothes. God says none of these things will enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's why we're going to start talking about a place where we store all of our things. And it's not going to be we're storing money. We're not storing cars and homes. We are storing things that belong to God, such as wisdom, the word of God, prophecy, revelation, biblical texts, because we need these things on the journey. Then God says that we continue to walk. Stop. There's another stop sign. Lord, have mercy. I just left one stop sign, and now I'm moving, and now here is another stop sign. God says that there are going to be situations, and when he talks about the concept of whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart, and whoever will not receive you when you go out in the city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. We're not literally talking about inside man-made homes. God is sending us out to places, platforms, and there are some people within their hearts, they don't believe that God can heal. They don't believe that God can deliver. They don't believe that God can set people free. God says, stop. Do not waver when they give you a testimony that God has not answered their prayers in over 20 years. He said, do you remember the woman with the issue of blood? Do you remember Job, who was sick so long that the flesh fell from his bones? Do you remember the girl who was demon-possessed? Do you remember? God says, stop and think. And he says, when we encounter individuals such as that, we stop and we remain, write the word remain, on the word of God. Do not allow anyone on this journey, I'm telling you, because some of you, God has blessed you since we started, God has put you on platform after platform, right? There are going to be individuals, God says, that's going to tell you, I've been praying for 30 years and nothing has changed. But we don't waver and say, well, I guess the Lord's not blessing. No. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. We're remaining on the word of God. We're stopping because we're thinking about the good things that God has done. God says, stop. When when those people come to you complaining about the Lord hasn't answered my prayers in 20, 30 years, when you're on platforms, when you're going around and God has anointed your hands and you're praying to God to heal and deliver this person and they give you a testimony that God hasn't touched them in 5 or 10 years, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You're still here. And because you're still here on this journey, that's a blessing. God says, think on the good things. Because you've already hit a stop sign before. And now here we are again. And he says, throughout this point of the journey, we have a tendency to stop altogether. Because we feel that because we've hit two double stop signs in one particular area back to back, that God is telling us something. God is telling us to rest. God is telling us to stop. And God is telling us to keep moving. Look at that movement. Move, Alfreda. Keep moving. You have to keep moving. Minister and keep moving. Minister and keep moving. Then God says, as you are moving. So you've heard the call of God. We've heard the call of God, and we stop. Oh, there is a thought. Right? There is a thought. Then afterwards, there's another stop sign. God says, no, people are going to doubt God. They're not going to believe in God because people are tired. They're tired of opposition from people. They're tired of hearing testimonies where people are saying, God hasn't answered my prayers. And you have a tendency to stop. But God says, remain on the word of God and think on the good things. He says, move, keep moving. So you keep moving. And it's a pivotal point, y'all. Think about basketball for the basketball players. Think about basketball. When you have a ball and you're pivoting on one foot, right? In the spiritual term, think about Saul. Saul was going down that road to Damascus. I always use this as an example. He was persecuting the church. Lord says, Saul. I could imagine he was trying to figure out who was calling him. Who is that calling me? Why are you persecuting the church? And he goes on and on. Look at yourself at this pivotal point. This pivotal point right here. Runners, think about when you get when you run in the 400 and you get to the 200 mark, that monkey jump on your back, you ready to stop. God says it's like the monkey that jumps on your back because there's so much negativity within this first part of our calling. There's so much negativity. People don't believe in God. He says, and there's a pivotal point in which you want to go back. You say, Lord, I want to go back. Go back where? I want to go back, and I want to stand behind the gate or behind this barrier. Because I don't know if I want to finish this journey. Because I'm looking at this, I still have another turn to make. I see an obstacle ahead of me. But you can't see the smoothness because the obstacle's in the way. And so you have this, we have this pivotal point where we doubt God, where we don't believe in God, where the storms of life hit because God want to test us. How many of you know anytime you go on a journey, anytime you're doing something for God, there's always a test. He has to test our spirit because we have to be strong enough because we deal with so many people on a daily basis. On a daily basis, we deal with so many people. And so that's why God says that we have to stop. And God says this pivotal point, sometimes you may have to divert back to a stop. He says, but this is a pivotal point. You're going to either go back or you're going to move forward. And on this journey, if the Lord has called you, and I want to stick a pin right here, if the Lord has called you, and if you look at this pivotal point, it's right in the middle, and that means it's separating. There's a separation between the calling and the finish line. If you decide that you don't want to continue this journey, you're going to digress. You're going to go backwards. You're going to miss out on the mark of the highest calling. You're going to miss out on what Jesus has promised you. Because you're going backwards. We are moving forward. God has called you. And just because on this journey, God has blessed you to be on many platforms, God is rewarding you through pay. He's rewarding you through the spirit of all these other things added unto you. When things happen, God is right there supplying your needs according to his riches. A decision, saints, kingdom builders. Y'all have to make a decision. We have to make a decision. Are we going to go backwards or are we going to go forward? There are people at this pivotal point. You're looking backwards like Saul. You're looking backwards at the people who are around the perimeter. Look at the boundaries of this piece of paper. That's why I told you don't draw the line all the way down the paper. Look at the boundaries. Look at that big space. That's how many people are standing around looking. They don't know if they want to get in. They don't know if they want to move forward. And so it's our job. Notice that there's only 12 people that you put on this paper plus one. That's 13. That's a representation of the laborers are a few, but the work is plentiful because nobody wants to come on a journey. Nobody wants to stop at the stop signs. Nobody wants to think on the good things when someone's giving them negativity. There are so many spirits, like I said, that we have to deal with on this journey, and we get tired of dealing with negative spirits. But God says that that's part of ministry. That's part of leadership. That's part of working with God. He says, oh, but the rewards are so great. Because we have to get these people from the sidelines, and we have to put them on the journey in the game because we're trying to seek eternal life. And if God has called us, that is our assignment. That is our job. We cannot get weak and turn back. There are going to be times when you're going to turn back to the stop sign. You're going to make it all the way to the stop sign backwards. And God says that that's the point. That's why he put that right there, that you begin to think on the good things. That's why during that stop sign era, God says that he was practicing with us in our minds when people were giving you bad testimonies about how God wasn't healing them and delivering them and setting them free. He said that's why he told us to think on the good things, because he knew that the pivotal point of our ministry, the pivotal point of our journey was coming. And it's important. It's very important. Listen to me closely. It's very important that we do not allow negativity to cause us to digress. It is very important that we keep focused on the Lord. It's very important that we keep our minds stayed on Jesus and think on the good things, because it could be worse. It could be worse. So how does all this combine with the feeding of the 5,000? We're going to find that out in a minute. But the pivotal, this is a point, this is a very, God calls it a crucial point. The revelation is coming. I want you to look at your pivotal point. Matter of fact, put a star by your pivotal point, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you have already hit the pivotal point. You are on this ministry listening because you want to throw in the towel. You are tired. Some of you are ministers. You're tired of the members complaining. You are tired of all the chaos in the church. You're tired of going to work listening to negativity. You're tired of going to organizations listening to negativity. You're tired of turning on the TV listening to negativity. Well, guess what? That's part of the journey. That's part of it. That's why God says that he has conditioned us between the first stop and the pivotal point how to think on the good things. We have to turn lemons into lemonade. We have to turn lifeless situations into survival, because we're seeking eternal life. That's why God says don't take anything with you, because if we was on this journey, we would try to buy a ticket back to our desolate situation. We would try to buy things in order to make us happy, but God says that his word continue to be in our heart. That should make us happy, not materialistic things. That's why God says don't take anything with you, because we're going to hit this pivotal point where we're going to want to go back and say, Lord, I want to be on the sidelines, and I'll see what the end is going to be. No, we're going to be the end. We're moving forward. The pivotal point is very important, ladies and gentlemen. In this journey, the pivotal point, as I said before, we have to deal with so many spirits, so many, whether you want to deal with them or not, spirits, it's spirits everywhere you go. Pivotal point, say your name, Alfreda, say your name. When you reach this pivotal point in this journey, I want you to think about God. I want you to think about his goodness. I want you to think about him waking you up this morning. Somebody didn't wake up. I want you to think about all the times in which God has made a way out of no way. I want you to think about the times how God has kept you danger seen and unseen. I want you to think about all those things before we begin to complain to God about what he's not doing. And don't be surprised. Yes, you're going to have individuals who's going to say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe that God can heal. I don't believe that he can deliver and set free. You're going to have many people like that. But God says do not allow that to determine your pivotal point where you digress backwards. We are moving forward. We're not digressing backwards. We're moving forward. Let's move on. That's the point. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen. As we're moving, we've made it barely past the pivotal point. And since we've made it past the pivotal point, then now we are on the mountain. We're on top. So we think. We're on the mountain. And let me tell you this about the mountain. I'm going to be very honest with you, like I said before. I'm going to be very honest with you, okay? Let me be honest, as the Lord is Jesus. God is going to bless us real good. I want you to look at this mountain. And I want to play with your mind right quick. I want to play with your cognition, your membranes. I want to show you how this works. I'm getting excited here. Look at this mountain. All right, you made it from the pivotal point. I want you to draw a little stick, and like as you're coming around the corner from that pivotal, I want you to draw a little stick, and you see a mountain. You can't see what's on the other side. You see a mountain. In this particular area, this mountain represents a high point in our lives. It represents when the storms are gone. You know, it represents breakthroughs. It represents stability. This particular mountain represents alignment with God and walking in the will, and everything is going well. I'm gonna be very honest with you. As we are standing, put your name right there. Put your name in front of that mountain because you can't see what's on the other side. Just put your name. Put your name. And I want you to still think about these 12 disciples because guess what? And think about that one as well. These 12 disciples are following you, right? They're following you. And we're going to talk about them in a minute. But we're focusing on you. We're focusing on us. And you can't see anything on the other side of the mountain. All right? Put your name. So everything is going well. God has blessed you financially. He's given you everything you wanted. He says he's come through on all his promises because you're on the journey. And you're looking pretty good. You have everything that you need. Health is good. Family's good. Everybody's good. Everything is wonderful. Right? So you get that spirit. Look at this ark. It's an ark. It's an ark. Hey, man, this mountain is an ark. I told you it was a rainbow. God calls it an ark. Write the word ark. Just like Noah. God says, in this particular area, this is the part where God says that you must be covered by the blood of Jesus. So in this particular area, you find yourself happy. You find yourself following Jesus, as the Bible is saying here, right? You find yourself on cloud nine, doing well. Prospering. And so this ark, God says, he warns us. He says, I have blessed you. You are better than blessed. Praise the Lord. And he warns us that we must be covered by the blood of Jesus and by the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must be covered. But for some reason, some of us get big-headed. I'm just being honest. I'm talking to all my friends, and it's 500 of you on the line. Thank you so much. We get big-headed sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to continue on the journey because we feel like we have everything that we need. We on top of the world. We see a huge mountain right there. It's right there. God has already shown us. He asked us, what do you want? What do you need? How can I help you, in other words? And you begin to receive all these blessings, blessings that you didn't even ask for. And at this particular point, some of us lose it. And some of us decide, you know what? I have everything I need. I'm doing pretty good. I'm not even going to finish this out. I'm just going to go on, walk on back, and I'm going to go on the sideline. And then some of us say, no, This is a mountain here. I know I'm going to have to climb this mountain to get to the other side. I know that there are barriers. I know that there are challenges, but I'm going to climb this mountain. So what am I saying? How does this relate? So as we are walking, as we are climbing, we decide that I want to keep going. Because I'm going to tell you, the pivotal point in the mountain, those are two very vital points that people quit in the journey. This is a visual. People quit halfway through in order to get to their destination. People quit. Why? Because they get tired. Why? Because of negativity, negative people, negative things. Why? Because they're not covered. You have to still be covered in the Word. You have to be on your face praying to God. When God gives you whatever He's going to give you, you have to pray over those things. You have to bless somebody else. You can't just hoard it and keep it for yourself. That's why you have other disciples with you. You have to bless other people. You can't be selfish. And so let's just say that you decide, bless me, so I'm going to keep on. So as you're going up this mountain, as you can tell, it's kind of getting a little bit harder, and you're getting tired, all right? And so you're on the mountain. I want you to put yourself at the top of the mountain. God says, you remember when Jesus was tempted, he was tempted on a mountain. And he says, now you're on top of the world, so now you can see everything, right? When you stand up on top of a mountain, you go to Colorado, you stand up on top of the mountain, you can see everything. And the devil starts playing with your mind, right? He says, you know what? You don't need to finish this course. He says, I can give you everything, all this land, everything. God says temptation starts coming. Because why? Because your pockets are full. Why? Because you're doing good. You're prospering. You're moving forward. You're advancing. You're becoming your own CEO. You have your own ministries going. You have all this and that. And all these things happening. So all these people, they start, as God says in the Bible, they start following. They start becoming magnets because God has blessed you. He says, and then temptation comes. The temptation comes. And what happens is we begin to want to utilize our money for just things, possessions, worldly possessions. And so because we're so busy valuing and investing in worldly possessions, right, we're losing our anointing. We're losing our value of words and our ministry that the Lord has given. And everything that we're planning now seems to become to no avail. It yields zero because God says, as I said before, I told you, don't take anything. God says, you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted, right? You're going to be tempted along this journey. And it's going to be the temptation. It's going to look so good, right, that you may decide that you want to follow through with the temptation or you may not. But God says, you always know that it's not of Him. Because there's always something in it that's just wrong. He says, just like a math problem. So he says, when you get up on top of the mountain, he says, there's going to be a lot of temptation. I'm telling you, y'all, in this journey. Some of you are going to blow up within a couple of months. Some of you, I just can't even explain it. And I thank God for that. But God says, this mountain right here, this mountain experience, read about it. Temptation. The devil will show you everything because you're on top of the mountain. You can pretty much get what you want, right? Thing with you. No staff, no bag, no bread, money, none of that. What was the mission? The mission was to go, give the word, heal. That was the mission. The mission was not to sightsee. The mission was not to get on the mountain and somebody sell you out by telling you they can give you everything if you do this or that. You're on the mountaintop. God says, when you get on the mountaintop, he says, keep moving because you have a word in you and because you have other people that you have to reach. So you get down from the mountain and you're still moving. And now you have hit what we call, we have your name here. I have my name here, okay? This particular insignia with our name, a continuation. Because you have made it. You have made this L. You've accepted the call. You've had to stop sometime, and you've had to think. And then you've had to go through some negativity, and you had to keep pressing because that negativity can really take out all of our energy. But then after that, to make things worse, you hit a pivotal point where you were just tired. You say, you know, Lord, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I don't think I want to go on this journey. Then the Lord redirected us into the right direction. And we came on around, and God did not keep anything obscure from us. He didn't keep anything hidden from us. He says, this is what I want to give you. He says, but you got to finish the course. But as you continued and you was on the mountaintop and the Lord began to bless, then there is temptation. There is negativity. There are people. People flocking to you. And then as you decide to keep moving because you're praying to God and you're on your face praying to God and you have an ark of safety, just like Noah did, and you're covered by the blood of Jesus, you come on down a little bit ways, and then you find yourself. You discover what God has called you to be. And now that you've discovered who you are, God says, because that's why that, you know, simplifies, or that's a signal of who you are. Because you have now discovered who you are, God says, look at those 12 people, because you're no longer part of the disciple. You're now the leader. Look at those 12 people that you have identified. He says, now, since he has called you and you have followed the journey, he says, this person that you had number 13 is now one of the 12. Hallelujah. He says, now they're in. Our job at this particular time, because God, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to be very honest with you. We started out with nothing on this journey. God said, don't bring anything. He don't care about us bringing our money, our clothes, our bags. God told us don't bring anything because there's a lesson to be learned. There's a lesson to be learned. So what happened was we went through that process. And now we have discovered the Lord wants me to minister. He wants me to be on platforms. He wants me to do media, radio, education. That's my purpose. And so now we don't just continue and go about our lives and forget about everybody else that we've identified. God says these 12 disciples, our job is to take them through the journey. And we ask once more, Lord, do we have to go back through this? Do we have to go back through the journey? And the Lord is showing me now, he says, when I called the fishermen, he says, I've already been where they've been. He says, but I began to teach them, and that is our job, is to teach people how to navigate through life in order to receive eternal life. God says that we've been through this process, the number one person, you, process. And I'm going to be very honest with you. God has always come through for me, and I'm pretty sure he's come through for you, for those things that God has ordained us to have, always. God has never let me down in these 37 years of my life, never. And so God says that we have to go back through this. He says that we have to take these 12 people, and we have to let them know that Jesus is calling. Because these 12 people, what you didn't know, these 12 people that we've identified, they haven't been on this journey. And no matter how much they love God, God says some of these people that's in our 12 is still standing on the sidelines in some aspect of their lives. And we have to get them on the journey. So these 12 people, as you come back around, call them by name, each of them, and you know who they are. And you're going to say, follow me just as Jesus did. And you're going to say, Jesus is calling. He's calling. And we're not talking about a telephone, y'all. We're talking about Jesus is calling. He's calling for people. He's calling for workers. And I told God to sign me up. He's calling. and you take them through this process. You say, stop. The reason why there's a stop is because everybody may not be familiar with God as you are. God had to take you through that stop sign, because if not, you would have kept going and you would have missed a teaching point in which you need to teach these followers. And God says there's a stop sign. And God says, because these people are going to be just like us. They want to take things. They want to take money. They want to take worldly things on this journey. And God says eternal life has nothing. You're going as a poor man or poor woman, because God is going to fill you up. He says he's going to take the nothing and make it into something. But if you already bring a lot of baggage, you're not going to be able to finish the journey, because you're going to be too tired carrying all that worldly stuff. So we're taking these 12 people. I want to walk you through this. We're taking these 12 people through the journey. We're telling them Jesus is calling. Follow me. And they all follow. Why? Because you call them. Ministry is more than getting on the radio, giving the word of God. Ministry is reaching out to people. When you go on platforms, you're calling people to God. You're not just going there to minister and receive something. You're going there to minister and to receive and to save souls. And so they're following. Jesus is calling. They responded. Everybody, drop what you have. You can't take that with you. You can't take food with you. You can't take that money with you. You can't take that envy, that hatred, that jealousy, that malice. You can't take any of that. Because on this road to eternal life, we can't take it. So don't practice taking it. Drop it. So they drop it. God says, keep moving, Alfreda, because they're going to follow. Stop. Here's you and your 12 disciples. And some of them are complaining. I don't think I want to do this. Some of them will tell you, I'm out of shape. I'm tired. Some of them will tell you, I don't want to do this because I'm not ready to give my heart to Christ. God has taken so much from me, I don't even want to go on this journey. And you keep thinking on the good things, but we still have you. You keep thinking on the good things. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You keep thinking on the good things. You remain on the word of God. No matter how close these people are to you, no matter how much you love these people, you always remain faithful to God. You always preach the word of God. You always teach the word of God. When you are at your organizations, always try to be positive. Always. Now, there are going to be some circumstances that's not going to be happy, happy, lucky, lucky. But there's always a positive side to it. If we stop complaining, then everybody else will stop complaining. Let's find solutions to problems. But God says remain on the word of God. When we're speaking, I'm talking about when we're speaking on platforms. There are going to be people who will say, I've been waiting 12 long years, and God still has not done for me. And you still have to say, do you remember Job? Do you remember the woman with the issue? Have you tried to reach out to God? Have you tried to pray to God? We are remaining faithful to God. These are stopping points. God calls them resting points. It's just like when you're driving a long distance and you have to stop. Same thing with going on the journey. Then as we're coming along, you're going to have some that want to turn back. I don't want to do this anymore. They're going to be complaining just like Saul did. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to go on this journey. I want to go back. I want to be on the sidelines. This is too much. This is requiring too much of my time. And you ask them, who woke you up this morning? Who started you on your way? Why are you persecuting the church? Why are you talking against God? And then that's why your name is there, because you're refocusing them. Aligning them. And you talk about Saul, and you talk about how Jesus turned Saul around, and his name became Paul. And you talk about how God was able to put people in place to help Paul become a new man. And you tell them about how Jesus is able to help us to become new creatures. And then as you go around, they'll see a mountain, because God says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You have already explained to people, to these people, about God. You have already given them parables. And God says, now it's my turn. And that's why I told you to put yourself behind that mountain, because God is the mountain. And God begins to show everybody that you are bringing everything that he can do in their lives. But as God is showing them, the devil says, I have something better. I have something better. He begins to dangle things. He says, this is worldly things, things that you really like, your flesh really loves. And so now there's a war between the spirit and the flesh. And at this point, with your followers, because you've already been through this process, you already know what the end is going to be, because God has shown you. You're a prophet. You're a pastor. You're a leader. So God has already shown you. God always have a strategy. And you tell them, no, we have to keep focused. We have to keep moving. Because there are things that God has promised us that we have to get to. And you're going to have some. I'm going to be very honest with you. You're going to have some that's going to say, I really, really do not want to go any further. I know that if I'm in the world, I can wait. I can do way more than if I go on this journey. And you keep telling your crew, you keep telling your followers, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And they'll murmur and they'll complain a little bit and they'll keep walking. And then God will begin to bring the sunshine and show them all these great things, and he will begin to do things in their lives. He will begin to change them like he did Saul. And they will become new creatures. And once they leave their mountain, they will be just like us. And they will come to know who they are. They will come to know what God has called them to be. And then the cycle just continues. And before long, after a couple of years, there won't be many people standing on the sideline anymore. Why? Because we are going out in the world and we are creating disciples. And that's the purpose. That's what God wants us to do. He gave us this parable, and I read this parable. But it's really not about feeding people. It's about giving people the word of God and bringing people to Christ. God says, see, you started out on this journey. He says, you only started out with 13 people, including yourself. And there are thousands of people sitting around the perimeter, and you could have brought all 1,000. But God says that he only chose some out of those 5,000 to come out and evangelize, to become prophets and apostles. Only some. He says, and then with you, he says he is strategically giving you wisdom of who to bring on the journey. And then as they come around, he says each of these 12 will have 12 plus 1. And the cycle will just continue. That's ministry, ladies and gentlemen. That's feeding 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. God says that we don't have to be big on people's list. Matter of fact, we don't even have to be on anybody's list. But God can take our lives and he can change it, and he can make us bigger than we ever imagined. God says that we in the ministry do not get big because of our names. We get big because of Christ. We don't receive riches because of people. We receive it because of the people that God sends. And God says, as far as compensation when working in the Spirit of God, he says that comes from heaven. You notice that any type of ministry that God places, God always provides. You never run out. God always provides. He always comes through. But he says, I want you to remain faithful in the ministry. I want you to remain faithful as a prophet. I want you to remain faithful as a minister. I want you to remain faithful as an evangelist. Whatever God called you, he says, only some. And he says, those individuals that you selected, some will come out as prophets and evangelists, and some will continue to follow. This journey that we are on, ladies and gentlemen, is not an easy journey. And the reason why it's not easy is because everybody is not fit to go on the journey. That's why it's so important that every day of our lives that we continue to walk with God. Because by us walking with God on Mondays, perfecting our walk, becoming stronger, we're becoming healthier, we're becoming fit for the kingdom. Just like we become fit when we work out, we're becoming fit for the kingdom by continuously going through that surgery process, continuously evaluating our lives. Ministry is more than just accepting a call. It's actually going through the processes of life and helping to change souls and people. Those people that you have identified, I challenge you this week. Every activity that we go through, whether it's the book study, whether it's our needs and wants, whether it's prayer, I want you to pray for these individuals. And I especially want you to pray for number 13. Because we have to get these individuals on track. And we have to remain on track. That's another thing. Because God has called us to lead these individuals through how we live. How we live. There should be something inside of us that lets people know that we belong to God. We don't have to carry Bibles, big crosses on our necks, none of that. It's the way we interact with people on a daily basis. And so if you was number one, whoever was number one on your list, God has called you. And we have responded. And just as we went through this cycle, we're going to do this on a daily basis on our way to our destination. God is getting ready to open up the windows of heaven. And I'm telling you, I'm going to say this one more time as God is speaking. The pivotal point in the mountain is very important that we keep moving. God is going to bless, and I mean, when I talk about bless, huge. It's going to be huge. And you're going to come to the point, we're going to come to the point where we're thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? God has blessed me with this. I have to maintain it. God says, anything he gives us, we have to take care of it. How am I going to maintain this? Wow. God says he will supply all of our needs according to our riches. He wouldn't give it to us if he didn't have the means to help us to maintain it. What I say to you on this journey, whatever the Lord gives, God says receive it, but give him the praise and glory. Not only shall we receive it and give God the praise and glory, but we should bless others as well. Let's not be selfish and greed, guilty of greed. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen. So what is it about feeding 5,000 with a little? God says there are 5,000 people still standing at the perimeters. They don't know if they want to accept Christ or not. They're not even sure that there's room, and God says there is room. But if you look at yourself, you only started out as one person. But God says you're making a significant impact because a lot of people are following you. And all it takes is one or two or three gathered in Jesus' name, and there he is. And once the word of God begins to go forward with a few, God says it permeates to many. And so he says many people need to be fed with the word of God. He says, and he's calling people out, but he's only calling a few. And with those few, he's able to multiply because he's teaching not only, he's teaching people not only to be fishermen and fisherwomen, but he's teaching people how to fish. God is teaching us and setting the platforms for our prospective work in the kingdom. And we must continue to learn from God. We must continue to study the word of God and be about our Father's business. So when we talk about feeding the 5,000, we're not talking about only with food. We're talking about with the word of God. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the AfritaLoveShow.com, also known as EstellaGospelMusic.com. I have one more song to play, and then I have some announcements, and I'm going to bid you good night. This is your opportunity. This is your chance to receive our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is basically an invitation. It's an invite. And the song is Yes, Lord. This is by Bishop G. Patterson. This is actually 8 minutes and 51 seconds. I want you to think about, and I'm really speaking to those who are standing around watching and don't want to join the journey because you're afraid, because you feel like you've done something so bad. But I want you to know that God says there is nothing you've done that's so bad that you can't be on the journey and be about our Father's business. If you want breakthroughs, if you want to receive the power of God, come on the journey. This is Yes, Lord by Bishop G. Patterson. It's an invitation to Christ. This was December 29, 1996. It's very important that we know who God is, and it's very important that we say yes, Lord, because when we get on the journey, God is going to expect us to keep running and see what the end is going to be. And once again, it's either yes or no. You decide on tonight if you're going to be about our Father's business and receive the riches of God. You're listening to the AfritaLoveShow.com, where Jesus shines with love.
Hallelujah. waiting on you. There are 12 more of you. Somebody said, how do you stop the clock? Well, you know, even in football, when they make a touchdown. God knows how to stop the clock. Come on. There are 11 more. Come on, come on, come on. There are 11 more. There are 10 more. You got 5 seconds. All right, here's another one. And there are 4 seconds left. Are you coming? 4, 3. You got 2 seconds left.
G.E. Patterson, yes, Lord, invitation to Christ. Amen. And it is always yours to accept or to reject our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to the AfridaLoveShow.com, also the StellarGospelMusic.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. I have a few couple of announcements to make, and then I'm going to bid you a great night. Be sure to continue to uplift your family and friends by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Also, they can go to freedolove.com click on Number One Love Radio at freetoloveshow.com and click on Number One Love Radio, and you will be right in the studio. And you can also go to stellargospelmusic.com and click on Number One Love Radio. All right? Gospel artists, actors, actress, anyone with a positive, positive message, please be sure to Facebook at Free to Love at ALFREDALOVE or FREDALOVE or DRALFREDALOVE, or you can email me at @yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to have you on the show. In addition to that, make sure that you can pray for all of your family members. When you pray for all of your family members, put them all in one line and pray for them one by one. And do not forget to pray for yourself and pray for those you know and those you do not know, because the prayer of the righteous availeth much. In addition to that, please check out the website, amen, at freetoloveshow.com, at freetoloveshow.com. Please check that out. And if you would like to once again be on the ministry, just email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. But when you check out the website at freetoloveshow.com, you will see many different individuals. You will see fashion. You will see things about the show. You will see health and fitness and wellness. And you will see many different speaking opportunities, media. So if you have any media events, or if your artist has a gospel label that's coming out, or any type of clean label that's coming out, be sure to email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. Be sure to put the artist name, the date, and the title of the album, okay? And if you have an event, also be sure to let me know about that as well, okay? In addition to that, also go to stellargospelmusic.com, stellargospelmusic.com. Be sure to go to that and check out that particular website. We have many different things going on with that particular website, so be sure to check out that website, okay? Also go to afrida.hubpages.com. Be sure to check that out, afrida.hubpages.com. That is the particular area in which we write different articles and things of that nature, so be sure to check that out, okay? All right. In addition to that, make sure that you just continue to remain encouraged. Be sure to come back on tomorrow, God's will, as we have a heart surgery. We're praying and we're having our needs and wants, and then we're going to go into our book study. Remember to bring those 12 individuals with you. We're going to incorporate those individuals as we talk about our journey. So be sure to bring those 12 individuals that we were able to place upon our journey today, okay? Because we're going to pray, and then after we finish, we're going to add more. So we're going to add more individuals. So just be sure to check all of that out, okay? All right. In addition to that, man, just stay encouraged. Just continue to do what God has asked you to do and continue on the journey. God is going to do some great things. And as I said before, remember the pivotal point and also the mountain experience. Those are two very critical points in which people either go back or they just stop because everything is going well. God says keep going because there are other people. And God is going to continue to add all those things unto us. But we have to keep going. And just because God gives you just a multitude of things doesn't mean that we just stop. We have to keep moving because we're working for God. We're on assignment. And if God has called us, this is until eternal life. And so if God has called us and we've accepted the calling, then we must keep moving. I want to say that I have finally found an event that I'm going to attend for my birthday. I finally found the present that I'm going to give myself for my birthday. I'm going to see Mr. Fred Hammond, Pastor Hezekiah Walker, Israel, and Sister Karen Clark Sheard. I'm going to be sure to go to that particular event. That's going to be my birthday gift to myself, or one of my birthday gifts to myself. I'm going to be sure to do that, okay? Just be on the lookout for many different things. There are many different gospel artists who are starting their own ministries and their own shows. And be sure to, once again, tune in to AfritaLoveShow.com and also StellarGospelMusic.com. Be sure to tune in and tell a friend that we're on. And also, if your friends missed this particular show, be sure to let them know that it's archived, meaning that it will be played again. All of the shows are archived so they can listen anytime they want to listen. All right? I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to the AfreeToLoveShow.com. Once again, let everybody know, if you want to be on the AfreeToLoveShow.com, just email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. Check out AfreeToLoveShow.com and also StellarGospelMusic.com. If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifted you up because God is love. Until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Afreeda.
Oh, yeah. You have been tuned in to the finest talk show ministry on the internet. The Love Lift Up Jesus Ministry. Featuring your host, Dr. Afreeda Love. Reminding you to be diligent in your prayer as you pray for someone this week. We say goodbye as we depart from the airwaves, but reminding you that we never, ever depart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is His Word. And on that, you can depend. Always remember that Jesus Christ has your back, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus.